This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low. Couldn't get a ticket. Was a sold-out show. Heard the roar of the crowd. He could picture the scene. Put his ear to the wall. Then like a distant scream, he heard one guitar. Felt good in his hand. Didn't take long to understand. Just one guitar. Somewhere.
Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Tuesday morning, April 16th. Hope you got all your tax crap done.
Or not. If you lived in San Diego,
you're fine.
You're fine.
But just, I hope that you're in process, right? Like, you have the wheels in motion.
I'm actually just in process.
You're in process.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're done. We owe a lot of money, so that's fun. Mm. But, you know, listen. What'd Biggie say? More money, more problems, right? He was absolutely right. Sucks, man. I would never want to be filthy, filthy, filthy rich. It's too much to worry about. I saw, did you guys see Mark Cuban? Tweet? By the way, I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Did you see Mark Cuban's tweet the other day? He's like, I'm going to pay what I owe because that's what good American citizens do. It was like $288 million or something insane. Like stroking that check. Was
just, he won't miss it.
Yeah, 100%. That's the thing, man. It's like, I'm good. I don't need to make any more money. I don't want to make any more money. I am fine. I'm fine.
It's weird because I always have the thought, and I think you deserve everything that you get. You work hard. You should be able to make as much money as you want. However, Mark Cuban has the same 24 hours in the day as the rest of us.
Right?
And I don't know that anyone is so brilliant or successful that they should make, you know, 20,000 times what a normal hardworking person does.
I'm not going to blame Cubes, though.
Am I now a left-wing communist? Because
I think so. Yeah.
I feel like there are so many hardworking people in America. And I think Mark Cuban's probably one of them, as are many billionaires. They don't have more time or necessarily more.
Well, you know what they're good at.
I just feel like that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? That they make so much money.
They're good at maximizing. Here's what they don't do.
I mean, Mark Cuban was also a pioneer
in what the internet is today. Exactly.
The internet.
The internet, yes.
You come up with the internet. Have a ball, Jeremy.
He absolutely deserves to be filthy rich because of it. But now he's just kind of making a lot of money on his money. It's like once you've got your money rich, then just getting more rich is a little too easy now.
Well, you know what? Listen, here's what he doesn't do. He doesn't work 4 hours, go home, lay in bed and relax for a while, then amble around the house. Like, I often think, I'm tired. Like, when I get out of here, I am spent emotionally. I am just, not physically, I'm not, you know, whatever, but emotionally, I'm drained. I need to reset. Those guys don't really need a reset. That's the weird thing. They have this motor. Maybe it's cocaine. I have no idea. There's this motor that goes on and it never stops. And their brain is always, always moving and thinking about what's next. And I do admire that. I admire those people that are able to do that. I'm not one of them. I'll give you my four. You can get my best four that I've got in me. And then I'm cashed. I am cashed after that. So it's great to be here with you guys. And today actually is National Bean Counter Day. Yesterday, there were some beans counted and eaten on this show. And I will just update everyone on how that went. I did the Bean Boozled. This was not the Bean Boozled Challenge. The Bean Boozled Challenge is actually for little kids. Grown men do the handful of Bean Boozled beans. You were right when you ate the dead fish. I wasn't hungry really all day. I just had the taste of bandage in my mouth, the scabby Band-Aid that I just ate. And so I walked around yesterday. I got home and I was like, am I hungry? I went to the gym and then I left the gym and I had a protein shake and I was like, that didn't taste good. Got home, I was like, I need to eat. I was like, I'm not hungry at all. I probably lost 3 pounds yesterday thanks to the Bean Boozled Challenge. It was gnarly. And I showed my kids last night when we were having dinner. I showed them and they were like, this is unbelievable. Bo really liked your commentary.
Oh, good.
Bo's a big fan of your commentary. So
I was inspired by Sam Levitt's TARP play-by-play to do a little Bean Boozled play-by-play yesterday.
Yeah, so it was, I don't know that I want to do that again. I don't think I do. Like I said, if the Padres win the World Series or something, sure, no problem. You know, I'll let you chew them up, spit them in my mouth like a baby bird. We can French kiss with them in our mouths if they win the World Series.
Just the worst for both of us.
It's just the worst thing you could possibly think of. That's the update on that. It was terrible, as you might imagine. It was horrendous. Stuck with me. Stayed in the bean meat. Stayed in my teeth all day. Yeah. I brushed my teeth. I rinsed. I did everything. There was jelly bean meat in my teeth.
Yeah, I think I interrupted you before you introduced the cast of characters. So
I did that already.
Did you introduce?
Yeah, I said that's Paul Reinl, the executive producer, Ben Higgins.
Totally missed that. I thought I jumped in before you did that.
No, I did it quickly today. I just weaseled around it.
I did get some more extra work done yesterday. I started working on my Mock the Draft.
Yes.
Last night, yes, which yes, I believe yes, we will get to next Wednesday right before I go on my vacation because the draft is next Thursday. So
right before you leave early,
I'm leaving early. Well, you can play it twice if you want while I'm gone. There's your
probably will.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll do it once early in the show, and then you can play it after I leave.
That's
early on Wednesday on my vacation.
Got a flight to catch.
I've got a car to catch.
I still can't believe you're driving to Las Vegas.
I always do.
I can't wrap my head. Arizona, absolutely. Easy peasy. Could never imagine flying to Arizona
Vegas
again.
Is closer, technically, than Phoenix.
But it's way worse than a drive.
Same amount
not
of time.
On a, not on a Wednesday, I think, at 9 a.m.
All right.
I think it'll be okay.
How about what day are you coming home?
I will be coming home. I think I might come home Saturday night.
If you leave at night, you'll be okay.
I might do that and leave at night while everyone's still, you know, partying in Vegas.
It's the most excruciating drive that I've ever been on.
Never again.
And it's happened more than
Sunday afternoon is absolutely excruciating.
And I've done it a few times.
Like either leave at 6 a.m. or stay till Monday.
Usually after like a baseball tournament where we just raged and played baseball, so it was double death. But some of the worst experiences of my life were driving to and fro Las Vegas. And you are doing it next week, and you're leaving on Wednesday, so you'll miss the round table.
I will miss, I'll leave this week's round table over there, but next week's round table, someone's going to have to take over moderating duty.
Has Adam absolutely chewed you out like he did me? Has he asked you to move your golf reservations?
No.
Like he did me for my stitches that I had to get out of my back?
He has not asked you yet.
Huh. No. I get a lot of special treatment here at Odyssey San Diego. Lots. Lots. And by special, I mean not great sometimes. But so he didn't ask you to move or anything like that?
No.
Oh, cool.
Nor would it be possible. We're playing in a tournament. I don't schedule it. That's just when it's... when it's on the calendar.
Cool.
So, got to be there if you're going to make it.
Very cool.
Or you're disqualified.
Very cool.
You don't make it in time.
Mm.
Which is why I want to leave at 9 a.m. So
now,
I'm
just
disqualified.
Little words of wisdom here.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Reindl works for Caltrans. She says, do not leave at night. That whole drive, that's when they do construction.
Oh,
I'll just leave early Sunday then before everyone gets
like,
up.
I mean, early Sunday is probably the most
time at the hotel.
So you're going to Vegas Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, so four nights in Vegas.
Yes. Now I'm just staying at my buddy's house. We're not on the strip or anything.
That's your buddy Scott.
Yeah.
And the last time you guys went on a guy's golf weekend, you played what in your room? Monopoly?
Scrabble.
That's right. Now, that was where? Arizona?
That was Arizona,
right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Vegas is, I'd say the nightlife's a little bit more robust.
True.
So, live it a little bit.
There'll be some gambling. We like gambling.
Okay. Will there be any other extracurricular
Probably
activities?
Probably not. I mean, eating. We like eating and gambling.
Gambling, and golfing. It's not the worst.
Eating, gambling, and golfing.
That's not the worst trip.
That's our trifecta of vacation right there.
Can I ask that you don't play any board games?
Yeah, you probably can ask that. I doubt that'll happen on this trip.
You promise me?
There's too many other activities.
It made me very sad when you did that last time. So please, I don't want to be sad again about you. I want to imagine you. Let my imagination run wild. Would you do that for me?
Yes. Yeah, I will let your imagination go anywhere you want it to go.
These cats sitting there playing Sorry, Yahtzee, the whole thing. Like, go to casino. Go rage a little bit. Cut loose. Let it flow.
How about strip clubs where you play board games with the strippers?
Now that
how's that for a concept?
That's not the worst idea I've ever heard. You and Erica playing Candyland whilst having crab leg buffet. It's not the worst thing you've ever done or said.
Crossover concepts here.
You're like the Mark Cuban of great ideas here. That's not the worst
thing. Dave and Buster's and the Spearmint Rhino, all in one.
That's like the best idea you've ever had. Babe, if there's games there, that's why I'm taking it. They like the games. Are you kidding?
Nude skee ball.
Are you joking? It's not the worst idea you've ever had, Benjamin. Yeah, so when you get out there, are you going to do... The strip, or are you going to be?
He lives in his house is in Henderson, and that's where
it's a bit of a hike.
That's where his the golf tournament that we're playing is going to be. So I assume we'll get out at least once out to one of the major casinos on one of the evenings while we're there.
Brandon wants to know: am I a table or slots guy? I'm a table guy because I'm not 100 years old, and I'm not good. That's not me being like some badass gambler. I get my teeth kicked.
We usually will find a poker tournament somewhere,
yeah.
You know, in Vegas where you can sign up and play a certain amount of chips and just that's always fun.
Yeah, it's a, like 6 hour. It's a good way to eat up.
It is
4 to 6 hours.
Yeah,
too.
You're not constantly losing. You know,
right. Blackjack's such a blast,
you're probably
going
to lose your entry fee, whatever it is, you know, $100, and you're probably going to lose that,
yeah.
But you get to play for a while. And
It's parenting in Vegas are very similar. You're just running out clock until you leave or until they go to bed. It's the exact same thing. Like, you go to Vegas. I was at the blackjack tables when I went for U2 in September. My best run there was like 15 minutes. I'm done.
The game where I find the money disappears the fastest is craps for me.
There's no question.
It's like, how did that happen so quickly? And every once in a while, you get on an amazing run, which is why craps could be fun.
What's that last? 6 minutes?
But when it does, then you feel like Mark Cuban with the money just making itself at the table. It's like, oh, I just won on that bet, and they're just pushing me money from this bet and the other bet. But when craps doesn't go good, it's like... 8, 6, 5, 9, 7. How did I just lose $150 on five rolls of dice?
That was
horrible.
You know what crushed me in Vegas the last time? Is that stupid? My wife was addicted to the slots. So she would disappear, and she's playing slots. And I would sit at the bar, and I would play video poker. Put $100 in video poker. Jacks are better. Out. Next, bet max. You're done.
I was giving my wife $100 bills like an iPad to a baby. And just, here you go. Go play your slots.
Yeah, go play slots.
Gone for an hour.
They play nickel slots and they sit for an hour. It's not enough juice for me. I can't. Hey, I just hit the jackpot. What'd you win? $7. It's not enough juice for me. I can't do it, man. And it was the same way. So, I don't know, man. It is, I'll have fun. I'm jealous. I know that you're excited to play golf and
and sorry and all those other things, but I want you to cut, let your hair down, okay? I want you to get some new clothes. Will you get some new gear? Some, like, going out gear?
No.
You let me get my, he needs to let me get my hands in the dough over there. That's what he needs to do. That's what you need. You need to let me get my hands in there a little bit.
It's a crazy, stupid love. You're Ryan Gosling.
Yes,
you need to
and
get
he's,
him.
And he's,
are you Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
You have no business wearing
khakis and New Balance.
In those movies, you know, the 40-year-old virgin and types, the person usually wants to change their life a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy with mine. I don't
like,
need to change.
You like.
I like my life.
How you've set up your life. Yeah. Are you going to wear your 97.3 The Fan polo out one night? That would be a good bit.
Could wear it to play.
Bro, that would be a really funny.
And wear it
yes,
out.
You could golf and play poker in it. And you're, you know, you feel like you're looking sharp.
Sponsored.
Adam would love it.
Those pro poker players are wearing sponsors all over
hey,
the place.
Hey, what you got? What's 97.3? What is that? Oh, it's my radio station. That's fantastic.
Is that a free shirt?
Yeah, actually. Yeah free.
It's a free sweatshirt that I'm wearing today from 10 News. The more free gear you give me, the more free airtime you have on our YouTube stream. Just keep that in mind to all the potential
clothing suppliers
out there.
Yeah, it's a plugola, I think, a little bit, but it's fine.
Well, I have to wear clothes.
It's true.
I mean, I'd get in a lot of trouble if I didn't wear any clothes.
Yeah, Ben, who are you wearing today? I'm wearing ABC 10 News. My little hacksaw over there, just wearing all the station freebies that he can find. All right, we will be right back. Ben will set up the menu. We got a it's a Victory Tuesday today, which is incredible. And we need to talk about all that went on last night in the game. And wild to see our Padres get lucky. It just is. That's where I'm coming from today. Very wild to see them continue to get breaks this
year.
Are
they getting lucky?
Are they making their own luck?
Or they're making their own luck? We'll talk about it coming up. Set the menu, as Woodsy said, and then we are off and running here on a Tuesday. Let's check traffic with Kelly on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, they did it. I said the Padres still hadn't won games on consecutive days this season. Leave it to the Padres to make it on maybe the toughest consecutive days they faced so far this year, having to play in Los Angeles on Sunday night and Milwaukee in the next, you know, late afternoon evening, and figure it out. Coming up on the program today, we will have our Padres wrap up and discuss last night's 7-3 win over the Milwaukee Brewers, kind of the good and the bad. I tweeted this out. Some people thought I was being too negative last night.
Wow.
But I said, I love the ability of the Padres to fight back. I don't love how often they're having to do it.
I agree. You do feel like that's something.
I love that.
You do feel like that's something.
It's not sustainable.
That can't last.
Yeah. Leah, last year was weird in their complete inability to ever come back from any deficit whatsoever.
Like 1-0 in the first, and guys are kicking the dirt.
That's it.
That's it for us. You could watch a Padres game last year. They would go down 2-0 in the second, and you, honest to God, could go, I need to save my mental health. I'm turning this off because it's just going to frustrate me. Now, you get down 3 early, I had a little piece about it last night. Now, I was a little concerned, and we'll talk about, break down the game here in a minute, Ben. But things are going their way. They're living right. That's what they say in baseball. Like Jackson Merrill, I don't know what he's doing, but he's living right. Because everything's seeming to find a hole, tick off of a glove, something. And he's living right. So you ride that wave as long as you can. But you also know you can't consistently climb out of holes.
I will say that if I could have scripted this season, I would love to see early on them come back and win some of these games just like this, just to erase the bad taste and memory of 2023.
Yeah.
It mentally feels like it's doing them a world of good. But again, not sustainable to keep falling behind by 3 runs. This is the 3rd time they've come back from 3 runs in the last week?
Yeah.
And great.
Awesome.
That's 3 stolen victories right there. But if you find yourself falling behind by 3 to 4 times a week, most of the time you're going to end up with a losing week.
There's no doubt.
And you can't sustain that over the course of the season. So they have to get off to better starts in these games eventually at some point if they want to get to where they want to go at the end of the year.
Yeah, no question about it. And I want to talk about Joe Musgrove in the next segment. I want to talk about Jackson Merrill and a kind of flippant comment you made before the season started that
this is Jackson Merrill.
That I chided you for. The Rookie of the Year. I mean, the dude's leading right now. He is your leading candidate for Rookie of the Year, I think, in the NL, right? And I was like, bro, come on, don't put that on him. Now I'm looking at it going, if he keeps it up like this, I mean, he's not going to keep it up like this, but if he did, it's a runaway.
If he keeps it up like this, he'll be the MVP.
100%.
One of his competitors last night as well.
He
shares his name, who hit his 3rd home run of the season. So we'll talk about that in our Padres wrap-up coming up. Not all great news. There is an injury to go over from the Padres game. Mm-hmm. I missed it, actually.
I did, too.
At the end of the game, but we'll get you updated on the injury situation. Padres signed a veteran bat. Not reporting to the team immediately, but we'll talk about who could be in reserve if the Padres need him, and maybe they will need him before too long. I had one of our Paulie, it was funny, just the other day, was playing the voicemail from John Sterling when we had him on the show long ago.
Yeah, we did our whole John Sterling segment last week.
Yeah,
and then
we kind of jumped the gun, and then we found out the news yesterday that John Sterling going to be stepping out of the broadcast booth for the New York Yankees after 60 years in broadcasting, 36 years calling Yankees games. So we'll have a little John Sterling discussion coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. Take on Woods, 7:10, chance to qualify for trip to Las Vegas. Maybe we'll see each other while we're there. And then don't do this at 7:20, as always. And then in our 8 o'clock hour, it is Jesse Agler Tuesday. The voice of the Padres will join us. Now, he's back on TV again this week as Don Orsillo. I guess, is he doing another TBS game tonight?
Gotta be.
You can't do them every Tuesday.
Feels like he is.
That's a lot of missing in action Don. This will be the 2nd series out of, 7 that he's missed?
I like order. I like when things are orderly, like as far as my broadcast team.
It's tough that when he misses one game, it really means he's missing
3 games. Because the whole series,
He needs a private jet to get him from the Monday Padres game to a Tuesday TBS game to a Wednesday Padres game.
That should be
game.
On Turner. They should be flying him.
It's Turner broadcast. Like, how many private jets do they own?
Right.
Let our beloved Don get one so we can keep things orderly.
Do the game on Monday. You fly out Tuesday.
Don Force One. I mean, he's just got to have his own dedicated plane to get
Air Force Don.
To and from his assigned duties.
I mean, listen.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I need my crews back together. Everyone's great, Scan's great. Everyone fills in nicely. But now we have to do an incorporated with Jesse on TV.
It's just fine,
but it's not the same.
Mud sometimes can have an interesting reaction.
True.
Makes the incorporator fun on television.
I want it orderly. We'll go live to the Pfister today, too, Ben. You didn't mention that.
That's right.
Gonna be
absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to be live at the Pfister at 8:30.
Jesse could be out and about on the, you know, mean streets of Milwaukee.
If you
skipping
had
around like Laverne and Shirley.
If you had a chance to either walk the streets of Milwaukee or just be at the Pfister, I think you take the Pfister every time.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Tony Gwynn Jr. talking about it yesterday with Chris and Scraby.
Yeah.
You got in at about 4:30 a.m. to the hotel. Some guys just went right up to their rooms.
Late night arrival.
Some guys waited for their bags. Tony likes to wait for his bag. Usually takes an extra 15, 20 minutes before he can get up there.
What do you mean? He likes to wait for his
bag. Well, okay, so when the team bus gets in from the airport late, the guys get off right away. They're just handed like
folios.
Hotel keys. Yeah. Just you don't have to wait in line at check-in. They
here's
just
your
got
breakfast card.
Yeah, ready
tomorrow.
To go. Here, Joe, you're in room whatever. Yeah. And they just hand them.
Welcome to the Pfister.
But the bags, by the time they unload,
Pfister? Yeah, absolutely.
Takes another 10, 15 minutes to get all the bags in. So some guys, Tony said, will just go up and crash, and I'll get my bag in the morning. I just want to get
really?
To sleep.
I couldn't do that.
But Tony said, I can't do that.
I
need my stuff. So
I mean, I could go up to my room, but I would put the lock inside of the door to like leave the door
and just say,
open.
Come on in.
Like, just drop the bag off there.
And put a fiver on top of it
100%,
and say thank you.
Because I would need my bag in the morning.
Yeah. Tony said he needs his bag. So
you just walk downstairs in the same clothes you ride in.
Right.
Apparently.
And also, like, you don't brush your teeth when you get in?
I don't know. Maybe they have like a pocket like toothbrush set or something.
A pocket toothbrush. Maybe the guy from Gremlins who invented that thing, it squirts out shaving. Maybe they all carry that. I'll do a quick shave.
Some good hotels provide them for you.
How about Padre Swiss Army knives? Where they just
so anyway. Late night.
He says they probably have a carry-on.
Said,
yeah, a little carry-on.
Like he told us, he's never stayed in the haunted wing of the Pfister, but he said he lived in the Pfister for
like two years. Absolutely.
Because that's
imagine
the hotel. Like when you're a rookie and you don't have a place in Milwaukee, but you're on the Brewers, that's where they put you up.
God.
So
oh
he said,
God.
I spent the better part of 2 years living at the Pfister.
Is it right there by the ballpark?
I think it's pretty close.
That's
yeah.
amazing. That is incredible. I can listen to those stories all day long. That's what I'm interested in, the minutiae of traveling and what it's like to be, you know, a big leaguer, a big league broadcaster. What was the plane like? I'm going to ask Jesse. Now, he was on the team plane from L.A. after that huge series win to the Pfister in Milwaukee, right?
As he always is.
As he always is. Yeah. So I want to ask him, well, how was the vibe? Like, that's what I want to know.
I think I'm with you on like the travel, the MLB
riveting
life.
To me.
And I think about that every time I see a kid like Jackson Merrill
100%.
Out here just balling out. And I go, hey, this has got to be a little bit better than bussing it around Indiana.
There's no question. There's just
El Paso.
No. Yeah, here's your post-game Papa John's. Everyone, you get one, you get two slices.
Staying at the Days Inn.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, like,
carpooling over in the morning. Like, oh.
Guys like him, Tyler, you know, guys, where were they a year ago? Graham Pauly is back down
back
now.
Down,
but he at least
got
a taste, you know, got to go to Korea, stuff like that. A little bit different probably than 12 months ago.
You can't take that for granted. You cannot. You're staying in the finest places. You're eating the best food. You know, like Bull Durham, they talk about you hit white balls for batting practice. I mean, it is. There's a trainer there 24/7.
Long legs and brains.
When you do anything you want. So that's what I want to ask Jesse about the flight and everything else. So cool.
Final hour, we've got a Rindle report for you, and we'll look ahead to tonight's game, Game 2 of the series against the Milwaukee Brewers. It is all coming up on our way to 10:00. And Annie and Elston, don't go anywhere. Get the highlights from last night's game. Scan and Tony with the call. As Padres beat the Brewers in our Padres wrap-up. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Is it too early to watch the standings? The answer is yes, by
no,
the way.
No, it's not. No.
As you wake up this morning, Padres are just a game out of first place in the NL West. Dodgers lost last night. The Washington Nationals. Thank you, C.J. Abrams. Part of the
kind of a win-lose
situation.
Yeah.
It's all right. Never going to complain about someone beating the Dodgers.
No.
So here they are. Yeah, 10-9. Dodgers at 11-8. Not off to the start. And in the all-important run differential category, Woods, they're both at plus 10.
Okay.
Exactly the same as the Los Angeles Dodgers through 19 games of the 2024 baseball season.
Very encouraged by what I've seen from this team in the last week. You know, very, very encouraged, to say the least. And they're fun again right now. They're fun. And you don't know how they're going to win a game, but they find a way to win a game. You know, listen, I'm riding this wave of positivity because it's such a dumb game and things could absolutely not go their way. That flip behind the back on the ground ball Manny hit could absolutely hit Adames in the glove, right? Like, there's just so many breaks. They got the Eggie Rosario ball could have landed foul. You know, just all these things that happen. You go, all right, like, feels like the tides are turning a little bit, but you have to wait. You got to wait. You got to wait and see. It's momentum that you're riding right now. It's not going to last for another 140 games. Like, you hope it does, but you've just seen too much baseball to think that that's the case. But man, it was fun last night. I mean, it was really fun. I didn't get super crazy, when we got down early. It's almost like I expect it now. I'm like, now that's a weird feeling. Expecting to get down. And then feeling pretty confident about a comeback.
There was definitely less doom and gloom on social media.
My timeline was filled with the doom, you know.
We'll talk about it. There was concern about Joe. And,
yes.
And I think that's somewhat warranted.
Sure.
Although, you know, Joe ended up being fine yesterday. And I assume we'll be fine as the season goes on.
Yeah, we hope so.
There was less of the... There's no chance we can come back.
Correct.
Nothing.
Correct.
It's over.
Game.
It's done.
Yeah.
Game over. You saw a lot of that last year for good reason.
Absolutely.
It was true.
They earned every one of those.
Absolutely. They earned our lack of
confidence
and optimism last season. But this year,
they're turning the tide.
They definitely have earned a little more faith in the fact that they should at least come back and make this a game, if not win it. And they did it again last night. We'll talk about how it happened right after this check of traffic, our Padres wrap-up on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Willie Adames now at the plate for the Brewers. Swinging first pitch, ground ball to left side, into left field, past the diving Ha-Seong Kim. Turio is going to score, and the Brewers have a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the first. 1-0 to Jake. This is upstairs. Gets off the glove of Contreras. Wade is heading home. He's going to score on the pass ball. What a break for the Padres. Pitch upstairs. It looked like it was catchable, but Contreras just wasn't able to hold on to it. Wade scores. Bogaerts is standing at third base now. We have a tie game 3-3. The pitch. Ground ball up the middle. Could get through. Backhanded nicely by the second baseman. Behind his back flip. It's not in time, and the run is going to score. Padres have a 4-3 lead. The infield single, I presume, is how they're going to rule it for Manny Machado. Great. Little blooper heading towards left field. This one's going to fall in for a base hit. Jake Cronenworth is going to score. They're going to send Manny. He's going to score. A two-run single for Jackson Merrill. And all of a sudden, the Padres have a 6-3 lead here in the fifth. Pitch, line drive into left field. This one's going to fall in for a base hit. They're going to send the runner. The Padres are now going to have a 7-3 lead as Ha-Seong Kim touches home. RBI single for Luis Campusano. Two hits in the inning. Padres, 7-3 lead over the Brewers, and the inning continues. The 2-2 pitch. Fly ball to left field. Playable. Jerickson Profar drifting back. He's waiting, camping, making the catch, and that'll do it. Robert Suarez retires Sal Frelick for the final out. The Brewers lead the bases loaded. The Padres walk away with a 7-3 lead to take game one of this three-game set in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, got down. Give credit to Joe, man. You know, down early, just competed his tail off to find a way to get through six, and better as he went, just a pro's performance, and, you know, it was kind of vintage Joe Musgrove, what a winner. But got down and just, you know, guys just competed. The intent, the at-bats were great. You know, what I love about this offense is the ability to do things in a lot of different ways.
So close. He switched it up on us. It's fine.
I think he's doing it on purpose.
I think he
loves it too.
He
loves things now.
I like
the way the game was played.
I do love the word compete And I do love to see guys competing. And it is hard to do when you kind of know in your head, I don't have my best stuff. Joe Musgrove is the first guy that will tell you, yes, I'm concerned that my velo is down. I'm concerned that I could not land a slider or a curveball. I'm concerned that, you know, if guys go up to the dish against me and they can automatically subtract one or two pitches, that puts me at a severe disadvantage as a pitcher. I think it's okay to be concerned about Joe Musgrove, but I also think you have to 1,000% tip your cap for getting through six innings last night and minimizing as well as he did, because at the end of the day, a six-inning game against one of the hottest offenses in baseball. We read their last 10 games that they scored. It was 12, 9, 8, 7. To minimize that damage early and to get through six in the first game of a series after a long-ass, weird travel day. Bro, I tip my hat to Joe, and I thought that was a really gutty performance. And you take that every time. And he got picked up. His offense picked him up 1,000%. But how many times has our pitching picked up our crap offense in the past?
Well, remember, that's the second time this season that Joe has stumbled early but battled back. In his second game against the San Francisco Giants, and the Padres lost that one 8-3, but he gave up, I think, four early runs and then pitched 5 2/3 innings.
That helped so much throughout the course of the season.
And while the offense didn't pick him up that day, it did today,
yep.
And he ends up going
those
six innings.
Those were first-inning runs, too, weren't
they? Yeah, yeah. And then he bounced back and got through 5 2/3. Now, again, you can't keep giving up runs early every single start, but the ability to, you know, basically put it in the past and go, it's done. I got up the runs.
Yeah.
I can't just give up now and say, all right, bullpen, come get me here in the second or third inning. Because then you're damaging your chances to win the next couple of games as well.
You should try some of your Ben Higgins psychoanalysis on Joe and say, Joe, you're not pitching in the first inning. You're pitching in the second inning, maybe even the third inning. And he can go out there with that mentality.
It was the second inning. Well, first and second inning kind of got him yesterday. Yep. I don't think Joe needs any psychoanalysis, though. I think Joe mentally is as strong as it gets. I do think physically there is some concern. And I don't know that necessarily he's still feeling some lingering effects of the injuries from last year or, you know, just getting a little bit older. But the velocity is down a tick. And as Eno Saris told us, I think last week, mile per hour difference on your average fastball can have an impact in the results. And Joe's seeing a little bit of that. The command for both he and Yu Darvish on the breaking balls, not as sharp as it can be. I assume that'll come around for both of them at some point, which is why I'm not overly concerned. But it hasn't been a terrific start of the year for Joe Musgrove. And yet still, he's 2-2, and while record doesn't mean anything for a pitcher, it means everything for the team. I mean, Joe would rather be 2-2 with a 6 ERA than 0-4 with a 3 ERA.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and he's given the Padres a chance. They've won three of his five starts. You win a 600 winning percentage when you're on the mound those games. That's not the worst thing. And you can only expect he's going to pitch better as the year goes on. So, you know, Joe, he got some help from his defense. Fernando Tatis Jr. with that nice throw out of Blake Perkins at third base. I have no idea what Blake Perkins or the Brewers were thinking. Now, he was running.
Hose on that kid.
He was running on the play.
And a good arm.
And the single to the right side usually means an easy first to third. However, he slid into second base. Once you've gone down and have to get back up,
to restart the engine.
No way you should be running on Fernando Tatis Jr. He did make it a close play. Needed a perfect throw and a really nice tag there at third base as well to get the out. But it's most teams have learned don't test the arm of Fernando Tatis Jr. And it did save the Padres a run because he would have been on base when Jackson Churio hit his home run later in the inning, and he's an exciting young prospect for the Brewers as well. And his third home run of the year, they brought him up. So figure some of the competition for Jackson Merrill for Rookie of the Year. The game, though, I will remember it as the bloop to left center field game.
No question.
Because it just felt like the balls not only were falling in, they were all in the same spot.
Same spot.
A little triangle between the left fielder, the center fielder, and the shortstop. And most of them were hit in the 70-mile-an-hour exit velocity range.
Is that like the 7.5 hole?
Yeah, something like that. 7.23 hole right there where they just could not get it over and over again. And I heard the discussion, and I want to get your opinion on this. The approach of the batters, and there was a lot of praise going, they're not just swinging for the fences, they're trying to put the ball into play, and they are striking out less this year, they're putting more balls into play, but you can't try to hit a blooper. A blooper is the result of usually a ball that's mishit, that you're trying to hit harder, and you didn't hit hard, and you put into play. Do you think the Padres are really like, that's not a Brett Butler, like, choke up, just try to, chop one contact. They're trying to hit line drives, they just happen to get lucky on some of those plays that they mishit it, and it ended up floating into the outfield.
Luck
is that an approach thing, or is that a luck thing?
The approach of we want to cut down on our strikeouts is tangible. Like, that is the one guy that I was lauding for it. Early in the season was Luis Campusano, who's now, he's hit some balls hard, but he's expanding his zone a little bit, hitting it where it's pitched, not trying to open up when we are at our worst, when Manny's at his worst, when Xander's at his worst, when Crony's at his worst, is when that front foot flies way open and they just try to yak everything to their pull side. You're done. You're done. You're toast. And that's every league. Like, that's little league. Don't open up and try to pull everything. Hit it where it is. I will say this, man. When Joe Ross took the mound last night, I watched him pitch and I said, good. And I tweeted immediately. I go, has this dude always been pumping 97 on the black? And I watched and I went, this is such a bad matchup right now. Because, like Manny, right-hander who starts open, he's dotting the outside corner. You can't get anything on that. Like, there's nothing you can do. So they were patient, though. They waited him out.
The game was,
okay, three heaters, and we're off and running. But then, once they got him on the ropes, they got a little bit lucky, obviously, but they also went in for the kill, and that was something I really enjoyed seeing. I loved seeing some flares drop. A lot of flares I felt dropped against us last year. Loved just put the ball in play. Let's see what happens. Let's be a menace. And that's exactly what they were. But, man, Joe Ross, I thought Murphy left him out there to die a little bit. But, he
wasn't giving up hard contact.
He wasn't giving up hard contact. And that's the tough part is, like, they weren't really barreling balls off of him. But, yeah, man, I love this kind of scene of we're not going to K. There were still opportunities. Like Profar came up with runners on first and third. One out, all he needed was maybe no outs, lazy fly ball, and he flies out, pops out to the third baseman. And I'm like, see, those are the things that continuously came back to bite us, but it didn't, and it's not right now. Like, they're finding other ways, and they're using a little bit of speed to force some throws and some weird plays, and just a great win, another great come-from-behind win.
Manny Machado, 2-for-5, extends his hitting streak to 9 games. He's looking pretty locked in at the plate. Jackson Merrill, 3 more hits. Second straight game, he has upped his batting average to .356.
Pretty solid.
Well, it's only through 19 games.
I love that.
It's the third highest ever average through 19 games for a 20-year-old, behind Pudge Rodriguez and Rafael Devers are the only two who have had higher average than that through 19 games.
The other thing that we can talk about, and I think it's fair to be a little bit concerned about, is, I mean, we're singling teams to death. And singles, timely singles are fantastic. We love a timely single. But, yeah, you wonder, how you talked about being sustainable getting down, Ben. It's also not sustainable to be just a singles-hitting team in the year of our Lord 2024. They're going to have to find a way.
And Padres are fourth in baseball in home runs. I mean.
Yeah.
They are.
What are
they
in singles? They've
played a couple extra games, but.
what are they in singles? Well, they've had some of those feast or famine games.
Yeah, I mean. But they have power on the team. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, there needs to be a little bit more slug. And that's, that's doubles as well.
All right, I've got a couple more thoughts on the game, so we'll roll that into our 7 o'clock hour here. Play some Take on Woods as well. Do not go away. More Ben and Woods. That was a quick hour on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Is it too early to watch the standings? The answer is yes, by
no,
the way.
No, it's not.
As you wake up this morning, Padres are just a game out of first place in the NL West. Dodgers lost last night. the Washington Nationals. Thank you, C.J. Abrams. Part of the
kind of a win-lose
situation. Yeah. It's all right. Never going to complain about someone beating the Dodgers.
No.
So here they are. Yeah, 10-9. Dodgers at 11-8. Not off to the start. And in the all-important run differential category, Woods, they're both at plus 10.
Okay.
Exactly the same as the Los Angeles Dodgers through 19 games of the 2024 baseball season.
Very encouraged by what I've seen from this team in the last week. You know, very, very encouraged, to say the least. And they're fun again right now. They're fun. And you don't know how they're going to win a game, but they find a way to win a game. You know, listen, I'm riding this wave of positivity because it's such a dumb game. And things could absolutely not go their way. That flip behind the back on the ground ball Manny hit could absolutely hit Adamas in the glove, right? Like, there's just so many breaks. They got the Eggy Rosario ball could have landed foul. You know, just all these things that happen. You go, all right, like, feels like the tides are turning a little bit. But you have to wait. You got to wait. You got to wait and see. It's momentum that you're riding right now. It's not going to last for another 140 games. Like, you hope it does, but you've just seen too much baseball to think that that's the case. But, man, it was fun last night. I mean, it was really fun. I didn't get super crazy when we got down early. It's almost like I expect it now. I'm like, now that's a weird feeling. Expecting to get down and then feeling pretty confident about a comeback.
There was definitely less doom and gloom on social media.
My timeline was filled with the doom, you know.
There was concern about Joe, and I think that's somewhat warranted.
Sure.
Although, you know, Joe ended up being fine yesterday, and I assume we'll be fine as the season goes on.
Yeah, we hope so.
There was less of the, there's no chance we can come back.
Correct.
Nothing.
Correct.
It's over.
Game.
It's done.
Yeah.
Game over. You saw a lot of that last year for good reason.
Absolutely.
It was true.
They earned it. They earned every one of them.
Absolutely. They earned our lack of
confidence
and optimism last season. But this year,
they're turning the tide.
They definitely have earned a little more faith in the fact that they should at least come back and make this a game, if not win it. And they did it again last night. We'll talk about how it happened right after this check of traffic, our Padres wrap-up on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Willy Adamas now at the plate for the Brewers. Swinging first pitch, ground ball to left side, into left field, past the diving Ha-Seong Kim. Churio is going to score, and the Brewers have a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the first.
1-0 to Jake.
This is upstairs. Gets off the glove of Contreras. Wade is heading home. He's going to score on the pass ball. What a break for the Padres. Pitch upstairs. It looked like it was catchable, but Contreras just wasn't able to hold on to it. Wade scores. Bogaerts is standing at third base now. We have a tie game 3-3. The pitch. Ground ball up the middle. Could get through. Backhanded nicely by the second baseman. Behind his back flip. It's not in time, and the run is going to score. Padres have a 4-3 lead. The infield single, I presume, is how they're going to rule it for Manny Machado. Great. Little blooper heading towards left field. This one's going to fall in for a base hit. Jake Cronenworth is going to score. They're going to send Manny. He's going to score a two-run single for Jackson Merrill. And all of a sudden, the Padres have a 6-3 lead here in the fifth. Pitch, line drive into left field. This one's going to fall in for a base hit. They're going to send the runner. The Padres are now going to have a 7-3 lead as Ha-Seong Kim touches home. RBI single for Luis Campusano. Two hits in the inning. Padres 7-3 lead over the Brewers, and the inning continues. The 2-2 pitch. Fly ball to left field. Playable. Jerickson Profar drifting back. He's waiting. Camping. Making the catch, and that'll do it. Robert Suarez retires Sal Frelick for the final out. The Brewers lead the bases loaded. The Padres walk away with a 7-3 lead to take game one of this three-game set in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, got down. Give credit to Joe, man. You know, down early and just compete his tail off to find a way to get through six. And better as he went, just a pro's performance. And, you know, it was kind of been at Joe Musgrove. What a winner. But got down and just, you know, guys just competed. The intent, the at-bats were great. You know, what I love about this offense is the ability to do things in a lot of different ways.
So close. He switched it up on us. It's fine.
I think he's doing it on purpose.
I think he loves it too.
He loves things now.
I
the way the game was played.
I do love the word compete. And I do love to see guys competing. And it is hard to do when you kind of know in your head, I don't have my best stuff. Joe Musgrove is the first guy that will tell you, yes, I'm concerned that my velo is down. I'm concerned that I could not land a slider or a curveball. I'm concerned that, you know, if guys go up to the dish against me and they can automatically subtract one or two pitches, that puts me at a severe disadvantage as a pitcher. I think it's okay to be concerned about Joe Musgrove, but I also think you have to 1,000% tip your cap for getting through six innings last night and minimizing as well as he did. Because at the end of the day, a six-inning game against one of the hottest offenses in baseball. We read their last 10 games that they scored. It was 12, 9, 8, 7. To minimize that damage early and to get through six in the first game of a series after a long-ass, weird travel day. Bro, I tip my hat to Joe, and I thought that was a really gutty performance. And you take that every time. And he got picked up. His offense picked him up 1,000%. But how many times has our pitching picked up our crap offense in the past?
Well, remember, that's the second time this season that Joe has stumbled early but battled back. In his second game against the San Francisco Giants, and the Padres lost that one 8-3, but he gave up, I think, four early runs and then pitched 5 2/3 innings.
That helped so much.
And while
the
offense didn't pick him up that day, it did today.
Yep.
And he ends up going
six
innings.
Those were first inning runs, too, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he bounced back and got through 5 2/3. Now, again, you can't keep giving up runs early every single start, but the ability to, you know, basically put it in the past and go, it's done, it's done. I got up the runs.
Yeah.
I can't just give up now and say, all right, bullpen, come get me here in the second or third inning. Because
then you're
damaging your chances to win the next couple of games as well.
You should try some of your Ben Higgins psychoanalysis on Joe and say, Joe, you're not pitching in the first inning. You're pitching in the second inning, maybe even the third inning. And he can go out there with that mentality.
It was the second inning. Well, first and second inning kind of got him yesterday. Yep. I don't think Joe needs any psychoanalysis, though. I think Joe mentally is as strong as it gets. I do think physically there is some concern. And I don't know that necessarily he's still feeling some lingering effects of the injuries from last year or, you know, just getting a little bit older. But the velocity is down a tick. And as Eno Saris told us, I think last week, mile per hour difference on your average fastball can have an impact in the results. And Joe's seeing a little bit of that. The command for both he and Yu Darvish on the breaking balls, not as sharp as it can be. I assume that'll come around for both of them at some point, which is why I'm not overly concerned. But it hasn't been a terrific start of the year for Joe Musgrove. And yet still, he's 2-2, and while record doesn't mean anything for a pitcher, it means everything for the team. I mean, Joe would rather be 2-2 with a 6 ERA than 0-4 with a 3 ERA.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and he's given the Padres a chance. They've won 3 of his 5 starts. You know, you win a 600 winning percentage when you're on the mound those games. That's not the worst thing. And you can only expect he's going to pitch better as the year goes on. So, you know, Joe, he got some help from his defense. Fernando Tatis Jr. with that nice throw out of Blake Perkins at third base. I have no idea what Blake Perkins or the Brewers were thinking. Now, he was running.
Hose on that kid.
He was running on the play.
And a good arm.
And the single to the right side usually means an easy first to third. However, he slid into second base. Once you've gone down and have to get back up,
to restart the engine.
No way you should be running on Fernando Tatis Jr. He did make it a close play. Needed a perfect throw and a really nice tag there at third base as well to get the out. But most teams have learned don't test the arm of Fernando Tatis Jr. And it did save the Padres a run because he would have been on base when Jackson Churio hit his home run later in the inning, and he's an exciting young prospect for the Brewers as well. And his third home run of the year, they brought him up. So figure some of the competition for Jackson Merrill for Rookie of the Year. The game, though, I will remember it as the bloop to left center field game.
No question.
Because it just felt like the balls not only were falling in, they were all in the same spot.
Same spot.
A little triangle between the left fielder, the center fielder, and the shortstop. And most of them were hit in the 70-mile-an-hour exit velocity range.
Is that like the 7.5 hole?
Yeah, something like that. 7.23 hole right there where they just could not get it over and over again. And I heard the discussion, and I want to get your opinion on this. The approach of the batters, and there was a lot of praise going, they're not just swinging for the fences. They're trying to put the ball into play, and they are striking out less this year. They're putting more balls into play, but you can't try to hit a blooper. A blooper is the result of usually a ball that's mishit, that you're trying to hit harder, and you didn't hit hard, and you put into play. Do you think the Padres are really like, that's not a Brett Butler, like, choke up, just try to, chop one contact. They're trying to hit line drives, and they just happen to get lucky on some of those plays that they mishit it, and it ended up floating into the outfield.
Luck
is that an approach thing, or is that a luck thing?
The approach of we want to cut down on our strikeouts is
that's an approach,
tangible. Like, that is the one guy that I was lauding for it. Early in the season was Luis Campusano, who's now, he's hit some balls hard, but he's expanding his zone a little bit, hitting it where it's pitched, not trying to open up when we are at our worst, when Manny's at his worst, when Xander's at his worst, when Crony's at his worst, is when that front foot flies way open and they just try to yak everything to their pull side. You're done. You're done. You're toast. And that's every league. Like, that's little league. Don't open up and try to pull everything. Hit it where it is. I will say this, man. When Joe Ross took the mound last night, I watched him pitch and I said, good. And I tweeted immediately. I go, has this dude always been pumping 97 on the black? And I watched and I went, this is such a bad matchup right now. Because, like Manny, right-hander who starts open, he's dotting the outside corner. You can't get anything on that. Like, there's nothing you can do. So they were patient, though. They waited him out.
The game was, boom. Okay.
Like, it was, okay, three heaters, and we're off and running. But then, once they got him on the ropes, they got a little bit lucky, obviously, but they also went in for the kill, and that was something I really enjoyed seeing. I loved seeing some flares drop. A lot of flares I felt dropped against us last year. Loved just put the ball in play. Let's see what happens. Let's be a menace. And that's exactly what they were. But, man, Joe Ross, I thought Murphy left him out there to die a little bit. But, he
wasn't giving up hard contact.
He wasn't giving up hard contact. And that's the tough part is, like, they weren't really barreling balls off of him. But, yeah, man, I love this kind of scene of we're not going to K. There were still opportunities. Like Profar came up with runners on first and third, one out. All he needed was maybe no outs, lazy fly ball, and he flies out, pops out to the third baseman. And I'm like, see, those are the things that continuously came back to bite us, but it didn't, and it's not right now. Like, they're finding other ways, and they're using a little bit of speed to force some throws and some weird plays, and just a great win, another great come-from-behind win.
Manny Machado, 2-for-5, extends his hitting streak to 9 games. He's looking pretty locked in at the plate. Jackson Merrill, 3 more hits, second straight game. He has upped his batting average to .356.
Solid.
Well, it's only through 19 games.
I love that.
It's the third highest ever average through 19 games for a 20-year-old behind Pudge Rodriguez and Rafael Devers are the only two who have had higher average than that through 19 games.
The other thing that we can talk about, and I think it's fair to be a little bit concerned about, is, we're singling teams to death. And singles, timely singles are fantastic. We love a timely single. But, yeah, you wonder, how you talked about being sustainable getting down, Ben. It's also not sustainable to be just a singles-hitting team in the year of our Lord 2024. They're going to have to find a way.
And Padres are fourth in baseball in home runs. They are.
What are
they
in singles?
They've played a couple extra games, but
what are they in singles? Well, they've had some of those feast or famine games.
Yeah. But they have power on the team. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, there needs to be a little bit more slug. And that's doubles as well.
All right, I've got a couple more thoughts on the game, so we'll roll that into our 7 o'clock hour here. Play some Take on Woods as well. Do not go away. More Ben and Woods. That was a quick hour on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.